Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Fridge Air Purifier. Extend the life of your food and get rid of those bad odors for good. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and save $10 with code HOWIEFRESH.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, and a happy Tuesday to you. Feeling good. We are coming off the rush of having President Trump on yesterday on Howie's show. That was great. If you haven't heard it, you can always check it out at HowieCarshow.com, GraceCurleyShow.com. Re-listen to that. Tons of news today, including Senator Barbara Boxer being attacked in California. Former Senator Barbara Boxer. A lot of COVID news. We're going to talk a little bit about the climate core that they're coming up with. That will be fun. But right now, what's happening is they're having the select committee on January 6th. They're holding their first hearing. I haven't been bothering. This isn't a Brett Kavanaugh situation where we're all hooked to our TVs watching. You know, we kind of know what's going to happen here. So a lot of us are just tuning it out, myself included. But we do have a great show planned for you today, including Jerry Callahan at 105. We've got Chris Bedford from The Federalist at 205. He has an awesome piece out right now. So the show's going to be jam-packed. We got tons of sound. We got tons of stories. But the one I want to start with is the one that's probably going to be affecting you the most. The CDC today at some point, probably later this afternoon, probably right in time for Howie's show. That's usually how these things work out for me. The CDC will recommend that some vaccinated people wear masks indoors again. In other words, round and round the merry-go-round, we're back to where we started. And this is obviously incredibly frustrating for a lot of people because there's a lot of people who got vaccinated with the idea that they were going to be able to return to normal life. And now we're being told that that is not true. And it goes against everything. It goes against incentivizing the vaccine. A lot of people don't listen to the CDC anymore for very good reason. A lot of people don't listen to Dr. Fauci anymore. I had a whole conversation. I was doing a few media hits this morning for my Fauci piece that's in The Spectator. And I basically in that piece talked about how Joe Biden gets a pass. All the fact checkers, they don't ever accuse Joe of lying. You know, it's never an actual lie. Because a lie implies that there's intent and it's, you know, a little malicious. And as Yamiche said, Joe Biden is the most moral, decent man to ever be our president. So that's out of the question. Everything's described as a gaffe, a whoopsie. What he really meant was, I used to go on Snopes and Politico and the Washington Post and see the Pinocchios, and the verdicts would always be lie, false. Verdict is false, double lie. Daniel Dale called Trump a serial liar. And now you go on those same websites and it's like, verdict, partially true, but missing context. Verdict, let me explain. Verdict, what he really meant was, it's absolutely absurd, but the real noble lie has always come from Dr. Fauci. He's admitted it, whether it was masks, whether it was herd immunity. He didn't tell us things because he didn't think we could handle the truth. You know, we're too dumb. We watch too much NASCAR. We can't be told what's actually happening. He has to kind of, you know, he has to style flex and see what we can take.
The Fauci ouchie.
And so now no one trusts Dr. Fauci. And I actually said this to Howie earlier because he brought this up yesterday and I thought it was a great point. Fauci spends so much time talking about Trump, you know, Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis and how they have to, you know, get out there and talk to this group of people who won't be vaccinated or who won't get vaccinated, which, by the way, according to a lot of reports, including a Kaiser poll, it's not as many Trump people as they want it to seem. It's not overwhelmingly all Trump people who aren't getting vaccinated. In fact, most Trump people I know are fully vaccinated. But they don't want to talk about how a lot of people who are hesitant to get this vaccine are in the minority communities. A lot of Black people don't want to get it. A lot of Hispanic people don't want to get it. And but they can't say that. So they're harping on these bitter clingers who won't get the vaccine. And the part of this that drives me so crazy is that if Fauci really cared, you know, because he seems hell-bent on saying, you know, Trump needs to get out there and push this message. Fauci and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were a huge part of the reason that so many people have no faith anymore in these government hacks. And Howie and I were discussing the fact that if Fauci really cared, you know, if this was his life's work and he wanted the vaccine in all those arms, you know what he could do? He could get out there and he could say, listen, he could level with us. He could say, I know, listen, Trump country, I know you guys don't like me and you have good reason. I lied a couple times. I'm kind of slimy. But I think we got to get this vaccine in people's arms. If he said that, I would have, I shouldn't say so much more respect, but I would at least be able to take him seriously. But his problem is the same as the mainstream media. Nobody ever asks, except for Rand Paul and maybe Scott Hounsell, nobody ever pushes back. None of these people, they're like Teflon. They never have to answer for their mistakes. They never get any scrutiny. All they get is protection and praise. And it drives regular Americans absolutely bonkers. And so now the CDC is going to recommend that some vaccinated people wear masks, which is asinine. Because anyone who's on the fence to get the vaccine is going to go, why the hell would I get it now? Why the hell would I get it? So I have to wear a mask indoors. It's a stupid idea. And that's all they seem to come up with at the CDC is stupid ideas. But remember, the science changes. So they have no choice. And I feel like I can talk about this because I'm on the fence with the vaccine a little bit. And I actually this week am deciding that I think I'm going to get it. And part of it is I want herd immunity in this state to really increase so that they have no excuse to go back. But stuff like this, it really does make you roll your eyes and go, what are we doing here? You told people that if they got the vaccine, that this was the answer. It was goalpost after goalpost after goalpost. And I guess what they want is zero COVID cases. And that's the goal. So what I'm going to read to you guys next, maybe I'll start a little bit here. I think this is one of the most phenomenal pieces I have ever read about the media and how horrible they've been at giving people the right narrative and giving people an honest assessment of the risk in what's really happening with COVID. And I understand why to a degree. Panic sells. You know, they used to say sex sells. It's clear if you watch CNN, MSNBC, panic porn is the way to go.
It's all about round-the-clock sex.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. He would agree with me on that. But this panic is so, a lot of it is so unfounded, and it's disgraceful. So John Ziegler has a piece, and it was picked up by the New York Post, and it's titled, COVID has become a media-driven panic disconnected from facts. The news media, I'm going to skip around here, and I'll go back to this after the break. I'll tweet this out. It's a great piece. It puts all the numbers in perspective. And I was thinking about this morning, because Chris Cuomo, who has no credibility whatsoever, he was talking to Representative Byron Donalds, and he was, you know, interrupting him, yelling at him about the COVID vaccine. And I thought,
I got a lot of Black friends.
I thought, this guy is so off base. You know, he has no right to yell at anybody about anything. And yet here he is disparaging Byron Donalds over and over again for just being a realist. Since the beginning of this nightmare, the news media have done a horrible job of providing much-needed context and perspective to the COVID data that has driven so much of our lives over the last year. And I'm going to talk about this. This is from the New York Post. We're going to go through exactly why they have done such a horrible job and what numbers you need to know to put this in perspective. It's important. Every death matters. Every death is terrible. But we have to, you know, come back down from this absolute craziness. You're never going to have zero COVID deaths. That is never going to happen. And pretending it is such a false goal. I used to say they're moving the goalposts. There's no more goalposts. We're just aiming at apps. It's delusional what we're doing. And if they want to lock everything down again, if they want to mask everybody up, I don't know if people are going to go for it. 844-500-4242. We have a lot of sound to get to. We have a crazy cut of Governor Gavin Newsom comparing people who don't want to get vaccinated to drunk drivers. That's something. And also we have some Fauci and Rand Paul flashbacks that go with another really great piece that I'm enjoying today. It's a lot of stories today, and it's a lot of great writing from conservatives, so I think you guys will enjoy the show. Our friends at Eden Pure are launching a new refrigerator air purifier that is guaranteed to keep your food fresher for longer. This is a really cool product, and Jared, I know you can agree, because for a long time we had a rule in this office. The mailroom manager said, you can't keep any food that we get from restaurants overnight, because they start to smell in the fridge. But now we can keep them as long as we want because of this product.
Yes, and anybody who's been in an office, I'm sure, has experienced the communal fridge problem.
Yeah, they put up a sign and they say, you know, after 1 week, everything right. will be tossed.
Yeah, but no, this has been fantastic. So now, you know, when the Kowloon shows up on the Tuesday, I can keep a little extra for myself and keep it in the fridge here. It's great because there's no odor. There's nothing. I mean, I don't want to speak out of bounds, but Grace, you like cheese quite a bit, so sometimes there's cheese in the refrigerator.
I do.
And I don't smell it because we have the fridge purifier.
All right, cut his mic. I feel like this is getting derogatory towards me. You had no right to bring up my cheese. All right, I love cheese. No, but Jared's absolutely right. There's no more frustration from opening up the fridge to find wilted and rotting food. This product, it uses the same technology as the best-selling Thunderstorm that has sold over 100,000 units. So not only does it help kill fungus and bacteria and save you money because your food lasts longer, but it kills the smell. It's really a double whammy. It saves you the extra trips to the grocery store to replace rotten, spoiled food. I'm always surprised how quickly food rots in a normal fridge, but not with this product. It's smaller than a soda can. It barely takes up any space. You won't even know it's there except by how much longer your food lasts. And right now, Eden Pure is offering $10 off the lowest sale price to my listeners for this week. That's right, $10 off the lowest sale price with free shipping. Keep your food fresher for longer with Eden Pure. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACEFRESH. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEFRESH. One word, GRACEFRESH. Just push them together. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. We'll be back with your calls, and I'm going to go through this awesome piece by John Ziegler in the New York Post. I think you guys will really enjoy this. And you're going to want to print it out and tell it to your COVID Karen friends when they start lecturing you about how we need another lockdown. 844-500-4242. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
I shouldn't be surprised we already have a lot of people online when the CDC decides, you know what, if you're vaxxed, you still might have to wear a mask. We're waiting for the official announcement. I don't know who's going to deliver it. Maybe a Dr. Impending Doom, Rochelle Walensky. Rochelle. We wait.
When the naysayers neighed, you picked up your pace. You said, nothing's gonna stop me, so get out of my face. I'm having adventures all over the place. Rochelle, Rochelle.
You know what we need more of? More Seinfeld drop-ins. Because every interview I do, if I reference a Seinfeld in my piece, the host always asks about that. Seinfeld, we need more of it. But yeah, maybe it will come from Dr. Rochelle, Rochelle. I do not know. But they're gonna basically, according to insiders like Caitlin Collins, they're going to announce it today at some point. Earlier, they thought maybe it would come later in the week, but I think they're ready. I think they're ready to drop this on people and say, we've changed our minds. I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think it's going to encourage people to get vaccinated, but I don't know. And I'm curious what you guys think. I do want to read this piece, but I see people on the lines. And of course, I always default to the listeners because I want to hear from people who I'm sure are just as frustrated as I am. Adam, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Grace, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I'm just really getting frustrated with the lies that are coming out of Washington, D.C. and all the CDC. When they say, how many people die every year of just a flu, regular flu? They never mention that. And I think the if you have a percentage, let's say 100%, that's two. And it's they never tell you the numbers. It's just percentages. And I think that's really wrong and misinforming the people.
Yeah, and Adam,
thank you very much for the opportunity.
Adam, thank you so much for calling in. Call back anytime. We really appreciate it. I'm glad you brought that up because that is a perfect segue to this piece. COVID has become a media-driven panic disconnected from facts. John Ziegler from the New York Post writes, "The news media have done a horrible job of providing much-needed context and perspective to the COVID data that has driven so much of our lives for the last year and a half." I'm going to skip around here. As someone who has previously written that COVID is effectively no longer a pandemic, I admit surprise and concern at just how much and how quickly the case numbers have increased in the U.S. in the last few years. It's now clear, contrary to the data trends of the previous four or so months and even current inaccurate claims by President Biden, that the vaccines do not fully prevent you from testing positive for the virus, but rather mitigate the symptoms. The news media's obsession with daily case numbers has always been at best misguided and at worst malicious. This is just my add in here. I 1000% believe now it's malicious. It's not misguided. Nothing they do is misguided. They're not dumb. I always lean more towards terrible people than dumb people with the mainstream media. I believe the news media and public health experts transitioning from hospitalization slash death numbers to daily positive tests as the primary COVID data point will be seen as one of the final nails in the coffin of our formerly free society. This is not just because there is evidence that the most prominent test is flawed, with the CDC just recommending it be dumped because it can't even differentiate COVID from influenza. We seem to forget that when the positive test first became the news media's metric of choice, there were no vaccines and we had very little immunity. In theory, everyone who tested positive way back when was at least somewhat vulnerable to a very bad outcome, even though in reality, 98% of those in that group recovered. So even back then, the outcome was probably going to be okay. But it made more sense why they were so obsessed with the case numbers. Now, well over half the nation is at least partially vaccinated. So the focus on daily positive tests without at least some critical context has become totally absurd. I always say, if I was on with Chris Cuomo, if I was on with Don Lemon, I would say, why are you never talking about the deaths? Why is it always the cases? Why can't you give people a scintilla of hope that this is going in the right direction? Why is it always going in the wrong direction? Let's go to a call here, and then I'll finish this up in the next segment. It gets so much better. I mean, this guy just breaks down all the numbers and how absurd this panic really is. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hi. Oh, no. Trump was right when he said a while back that this will eventually just kind of go away, and everybody made fun of him. And what's happening now is it's getting much milder. It's turning into a seasonal thing. It was going east-west, and now it's going to turn north-south, turn seasonal. And just like the Spanish flu, it didn't go away until 1950. It's just that it stopped killing people.
Right.
And I think that's where we're going to be heading. And these big farm, they want to keep this vaccine going more and more.
Yeah, and John, it's not just them. The Democrats want to keep, you know, this power. They're power hungry. And as I watch on Fox News and I see these January 6th hearings going on, it's just, I can't imagine if you're, you know, kind of politically down the middle, how you don't look at both parties and see that every manufactured, panic-driven crisis is so pushed by these morons in the Democratic Party, by Nancy Pelosi, by Chuck Schumer, by AOC, by Dr. Fauci. I don't get how you look at this and you don't go, geez, will they ever give it a rest? Will they ever just let us be? I'm going to finish this piece. Thank you to those callers, 844-500-4242. The CDC is rethinking the mask. They're going to tell us today. And I think we all know where this is going. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Very exciting day. We've got Jerry Callahan joining us at 105 to talk about everything. Simone Biles has decided to step away. She's been pulled out of the Olympic gymnastics. I saw that this morning, and I did feel bad. I'm a fan of hers. I think she's incredible. And, you know, what drives me the craziest about that is that there's so many people on Twitter, and I know Twitter's the worst, but just like serious people who write the meanest things right after something happens. Like nobody has a little bit of, I don't know, just a little bit of sympathy. She's under a tremendous amount of pressure. And if you don't understand how your mind or a case of nerves can really affect you in pressure situations, then you wouldn't have any sympathy for her. But I get it. I'm not saying at all that I've ever been in that kind of pressure situation like Simone. But I hope she's doing okay. I mean, I can't imagine it's a good feeling to go from being, you know, everyone's saying she's the GOAT, she's the GOAT, she's the GOAT, and she's the biggest deal at the Olympics, and then suddenly she's out. More will come of that story, I'm sure. We don't really have all the facts yet. But I'm going to ask him about that. I'm going to ask him about Fauci. I know he's got a lot of opinions on Rand Paul versus Dr. Fauci on COVID. But let's finish this story because I think it's an important one. This is from the New York Post. Now, the story basically starts off with, why is the press obsessed with cases? And that's been my question a lot, too. Howie Carr talked about this a lot in the beginning. You know, he would put up the chart in Massachusetts. And I'm not going to lie to you. At the time, I was a little bit hesitant because I did see that, you know, there were deaths, and you can argue whether or not it was more than, let's say, the flu season or whatever. I know people argue that all the time. But now I really see the obsession with cases, because now there's not even a mention of deaths. Now they're just going with cases. And it's really deceptive, because they should be telling people to help them deal with their panic and their fear that we're doing a lot better than we were a year ago. So this is what John Ziegler writes. Now, well over half the nation is at least partially vaccinated. So the focus on daily positive tests, without at least some critical context, has become totally absurd. One, because even the current case numbers are not that bad. And two, because there is no indication as of yet that hospitalizations and deaths are going to get to an emergency level, which, it cannot be stated enough, is the only standard when direct government intervention is remotely justified in a supposedly free country. We are now averaging over 45,000 new positive tests per day, which is over triple the number when it reached our low about a month ago. This sudden increase is understandably alarming, especially without any perspective, which, P.S., this is just me adding this in, but that's what most people have, is zero perspective. They just have the case numbers, so they're alarmed. This sudden increase is understandably alarming, especially without any perspective, which most of the news media has very little incentive to provide. That's a very important reminder. For instance, late in the swine flu of 2009 to 2010, America was averaging 57,000 cases a day. And the spread at that time was not considered to be at pandemic levels, because people weren't insane. Thanks apparently to those vaccines, this rise in positive tests has not yet caused a dangerous increase in hospitalizations, and absolutely no rise yet in the number of people currently dying with COVID. Based on the 7-day average, Americans have had a less than 1 in a million chance of dying with COVID on any given day. And currently, here in California, daily COVID deaths are just barely outpacing automobile deaths. In short, unless the perceived effectiveness of the vaccines is one of the greatest frauds of all time, we are currently in no danger of seeing numbers that once again threaten to cause a catastrophe in our healthcare system, which was the entire justification for the government usurping endless powers due to this emergency. Flatten the curve. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Remember? Everyone kept saying, we can't overwhelm the hospitals. We need to have enough hospital beds. That was, people forget this, but that was the entire purpose of the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, was that we flatten the curve. And a lot of people understood it too. A lot of people were down for it. Like people now who have totally lost faith in Fauci and the CDC and the WHO, those same people were willing to go along with this in the beginning because they did see it as, I don't want to overwhelm the hospitals. I don't want to put the doctors and nurses in a position where they can't fight this thing. So people stayed home for 2 weeks, and a lot of people did it very willingly. But that was the entire original point. And what John Ziegler is pointing out is that we are nowhere near that level where we have to worry about hospitals being overwhelmed. In fact, there was a story recently about a doctor or a nurse, and she told this big tale about how a guy died from COVID and looked at her as he was dying and said, why, please, can I get the vaccine now? And she said, no, it's too late. It really read like Gone with the Wind. And it turns out that they barely have any COVID patients in that woman's hospital, and that the whole thing is probably very fake news. But the way she described it, you would think it was a scene from Gone with the Wind, where it was just beds and beds and beds of people dying of COVID. Why would she do that? Well, it pushes this narrative and it causes people to panic. In short, unless the perceived effectiveness of the vaccines is one of the greatest frauds of all time, we are currently in no danger of seeing the numbers that once again threaten to cause a catastrophe in our healthcare system. But here is where the purveyors of fear have masterfully won the expectations game, even when the facts indicate that they should have lost it. The notion that cases were not going to significantly rise, especially among younger people, during a summer when most of America is back to normalcy and eager to make up for lost time, is mystifying. If all restrictions had been lifted and there had been no negative change in the data, it would have been a devastating blow to the already highly questionable premise that lockdowns are worth the collateral damage which they cause. I can think of some collateral damage. I mean, I read you guys a story a few days ago about 30% increase in overdoses. You know, these kids in schools. I talked to a teacher from California the other day. She said grade one through grade three, all those kids can't read. She said she spent months just trying to set up Wi-Fi in the parents' houses. It was a low-income community in San Francisco. So it was basically a total waste of a school year. There was a lot of collateral damage. At the heart of the current debate on how to respond to the rapid increase in positive tests is the notion that zero COVID is an attainable goal. The experts have infamously and radically moved the goalposts since we began with 15 days to slow the spread. But trying to pretend we can both live in a semi-free society and somehow eradicate the virus completely is foolish to the point of delusion. The Western country which has come currently closest to zero COVID is Sweden, which is yet another data point indicating that natural immunity may be more effective than just the vaccines themselves. In short, while the experts would like to see us panic and go back to some form of new lockdowns, a level-headed view indicates that position is actually the one which, at least for now, is really anti-science. I love this piece. I think that it perfectly explains how I have been feeling, which is, what are we even talking about here? What are we talking about? And secondly, what I would add to this piece, which is the only point I think this guy missed, and it's probably because he had, you know, didn't have enough time or didn't have enough space, is why are we still testing people who aren't feeling sick? What is this obsession with testing people so we can shut down the NFL or we can shut down games or we can shut down schools? It's just to pressure people to get the vaccine. And I feel the same way about the vaccine as Donald Trump does. I'm glad they have it. I think it's a medical marvel, but I think people have the freedom to do what they want to do. But all of this craziness about cases is just completely nuts. And then when you add in the fact that you have Dr. Fauci still being very evasive about gain-of-function research, that adds a whole new element to it. It's like, wait a second, why do I have to listen to this guy who should be getting questioned by every senator in the United States of America and yet is only questioned by Senator Rand Paul? Now I have to take this guy's advice again? How can we miss him if he won't go away? I cannot get over the fact that people are still buying into this panic porn. It drives me absolutely crazy. And the people who are pushing it and the people who are telling us how stupid we are have zero credibility. You have someone like New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. I'm going to say that again. The Love Gov, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's currently under investigation for the nursing home scandal, for sexually harassing former employees or former hires, whatever you want to call it. This guy is in no position to tell us to do anything. And yet, this is what he says he's going to do. Cut two.
And we have to get in those communities, and we have to knock on those doors, and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
You're not putting me in a car, Andrew Cuomo. Two things are going to happen. Either I'm going to have to sit in a car with you, which is terrible. That's a frightening thought. Or you're going to send me to a nursing home.
There's a word for that, Governor. It's called kidnapping.
Exactly.
Forceful restraint.
And you know something amazing? So they always want to talk about how COVID is now, you know, it's all the fault of the Trump country, and, you know, we're not getting the vaccine. And I think that's a totally false narrative. I think a lot of the recent polls show that that's not true, but it works for them. It works for their narrative. So, you know, don't let this fake narrative go to waste. And now the fact checkers are getting in on it, you know, because they're here to help. There was a video that went viral because people were getting really fed up with people like Biden and Harris lecturing us about, you know, get the vaccine. And Biden does it in such a condescending way in that whisper voice. Get the vaccine. It works.
I'm not the president.
It just gets under people's skin. So somebody put together a video that went viral on Twitter. This was like a week ago. And it was a supercut of all the Democrats being skeptical of the vaccine. Of course, when Trump was president. And you can only imagine if Trump was still president today, which I wish he was. There'd be a lot more anti-vaxxers with blue check marks, don't you think? There'd be a lot more people who, you know, aren't as pro-vaccine as they are now. I don't think Andrew Cuomo would be telling people he's going to shove them into cars. Andrew Cuomo was saying he wasn't even going to allow the vaccine into New York. And then once they did, he was like unboxing it like a lame influencer on Instagram. But yeah, I don't think people would be as gung-ho as they are right now. With that being said, we have the internet. So someone compiled all of these anti-vax comments from Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Let's play cut 25.
There's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency. You got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's consensus. This is a safe vaccine.
If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent that other experts in the country could look at it. Only if we knew all of what went into it.
If Donald Trump can't give answers.
It's very clear what they're trying to do there. They're trying to give you this sense that Trump is back there in the lab with a white coat on, pumping Lysol into the test tubes and pushing out the vaccine, which of course is not how this happened. Operation Warp Speed it probably will go down in history as one of the most incredible medical breakthroughs of at least the last few decades. I mean, the amount of time people said it was going to take was, some people said years, and Trump managed to do it in a very short amount of time. But here's the most beautiful part about that. The reason I bring up this old video, PolitiFact fact checked it. And I always talk about this. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, is how different the fact checks are now. I mentioned it in the monologue. There's a lot more wiggle room now. You know, there's a lot more room for slip-ups. There wasn't as much room when Trump was president. It was, everything was black and white. Now there's 46 shades of gray, you might say. And so PolitiFact sees this video circulating, and it looks bad for their dear leader. So this is what they had to say. This is Tom Kircher, all right? He fact-checks this and says, Biden-Harris distrusted Trump with COVID-19 vaccines, not the vaccines themselves. He says it was selectively edited to take the statements out of context. The parts that are left out make clear that Biden and Harris were raising questions not about the vaccines themselves, but about then-President Donald Trump's rollout of the vaccines and the risk that the effort would become rushed or politicized. So at the risk of Trump politicizing the vaccine, they decided to politicize it and scare all of their followers from getting it. For PolitiFact's ruling, Kircher concluded the video was selectively edited to leave the context, to leave out the context of their statements. We rate the video false. Their own words, they rate it false. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. It's absolutely pathetic. When we get back, I'll take more of your calls, 844-500-4242. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. They both have excellent teeth. They get compliments all the time. I know a lot of people aren't happy with their teeth, and this is something you can change. It's something in your control, and I have the perfect place for you. You got to go to PerfectSmiles.com, and you have to watch their video testimonials. Talk about incredible transformations. Dr. Houghton is an artist. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free. The staff is awesome. And if you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, contact them today and look at their video testimonials. I went in there for a teeth cleaning, and the dental hygienist said, you wouldn't believe how different people are from when they come in and when they come out, and not just physically their teeth, but their mental attitude. They feel better. It just changes your life. So go to PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. We will be back on the other side with the poll question and with your calls, 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
I said this about Jeff Bezos and the space thing, but I can't believe Fox News is going with this January 6th thing for as long as they have been. Adam Schiff just pretended to cry. We're gonna play that for Jerry Callahan. I just want to get his, you know, off-the-cuff reaction. Because it really is embarrassing. These people think they served in war.
A friend of the show, Eddie Scarry, just tweeted, is this a hearing or a group therapy session?
It really is starting to feel like group therapy. A lot of tears, a lot of holding back. I mean, it was a bad day. There's no question. But we have to move on. This is really strange. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's. CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Which civilian climate corps job would you want?
Yeah, there was a piece today, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, that broke down exactly why we have to give billions of dollars to this climate corps civilian organization. And I found the jobs interesting, so I thought this would be a fun poll.
Yes, which job would you want? Would you want to work on coastal restoration, install rooftop solar panels, help with climate disaster recovery, or become a clean energy educator?
Clean energy educator. Because that seems like the one where I could yell at people the most. Put down the cheeseburger!
Clean energy educator is polling at 35% in the lead. Work on coastal restoration at 50%. Only 6% want to install rooftop solar panels. And 9% would help with climate discussion.
Yeah, I'm going to say the educator. We'll be right back. It's Grace Curley.